You're listening to We Are STS, a podcast from the Department of Science and Technology Studies at University College London. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to We Are STS. I'm your host, Professor Joe Kane. This is episode 3. What are the similarities between today's COVID-19 pandemic and the Spanish flu of 1918? What can we learn by comparing the two? How can history help us understand what's happening today? In this episode, I'm handing over the microphone to one of my colleagues here in STS so he can discuss these questions with another of my colleagues, one who happens to be an expert in the history of medicine and disease. Dr. Jean-Baptiste Guyon is Associate Professor of Science Communication here in STS. He's interviewing Dr. Cristiano Turbel, who's one of our historians of medicine and science. Do you know why the 1918 pandemic is called the Spanish flu? Well, I didn't, not before listening to their discussion, and I learned some other things too. Their conversation was recorded in 2020 during the first wave of the COVID-19 pandemic. We pick up their discussion from the start. They're talking over an internet connection with Jean-Baptiste jumping straight in.
In this podcast, I want to talk about the COVID-19 epidemics in relation to the Spanish flu pandemics, which took place from 1918 to 1920. Of course, other pandemics have taken place in human history. Think of the Black Death, which spreads in the 14th century and killing an estimated number of 200 million people. Another current one is the HIV/AIDS pandemics, which so far has claimed 30 million lives. But in the media discourse about COVID-19, the comparison with the Spanish flu keeps recurring. One reason for that would be that since 1918, COVID-19 would be the first infectious disease to spread across the world in such an explosive fashion, taking so many lives in such a short period of time. But are the two pandemics really comparable? Does it even make sense to put them side by side? In order to find out, I spoke with Dr. Cristiano Turbel from UCL Science and Technology Studies Department. Cristiano is a historian, and he specializes in the communication of science and medicine in the late 19th, early 20th century.
Thank you, Jean-Baptiste.
Hi, Cristiano. So can you tell us more about your research interest and what you do at the department?
I'm a teaching fellow in history of science and medicine here at STS. I'm particularly interested in how science and medicine were communicated to the general public in the past, especially in the 19th and early 20th century. In my work, I tend mostly to focus on how scientists and the general public had a dialogue to create a scientific and medical literacy across Europe.
Thank you, Cristiano. So let's talk about pandemics. So do you think that there is ground for comparing the COVID-19 pandemics with the Spanish flu one?
Of course, there are similarities, like, for example, a growing number of people that develop the disease, growing concern among both government and the general public. But, however, and this is why our work as historian is so important, they are fundamentally different when we look at the context.
So tell us about this context. What was the Spanish flu?
The Spanish flu pandemic, or better to say, the 1918 influenza, was one of the most deadly pandemic in history, killing an estimated number of 50 million individuals around the globe, and again estimated infecting around 500 million people, a quarter of the world population at the time.
And did it last long?
The pandemic lasted from January 1918, with a first recorded case in March of that year, all the way up to the end of 1920, with a peak in the autumn of 1918.
Apparently, nobody really knows where the flu originated, but from what I understand, there are some hypotheses.
We have several hypotheses that has been put forward by scholar. John Barry is an American historian who wrote a great book called The Great Influenza. In his opinion, the flu probably originated in Kansas, in a U.S. Army camp. On the 4th of March 1918, some soldiers start complaining of a cold-like symptom, so in particular sore throat, fever, headache, a sort of unusual flu that starts spreading across the troop.
So if this flu originated in Kansas, how did it spread in Europe?
The United States, which entered the conflict the year before, are now ready to send their troop across the Atlantic into Europe, in particular to the port of Brest in France, where in the spring of that year, so between March and April, we can start seeing several cases of an unusual influenza recorded by medical doctor of the time. Now, if we start to extrapolate and expand a little bit out of the particular case of American soldier, we can see how the flu is slowly spreading in the spring of 1918 all across Europe. For example, in June 1918, we have 31,000 cases in Great Britain. This will be particularly bad in the autumn, when we will see that in the space of just 14 weeks, so from September 1918 all the way up to the December of that year, only in England we can see over 200,000 deaths, and over 60% of the total individual that die of the disease, those that occur in that short period of time.
Okay, so it seems likely that the disease did not originate in Spain. Yet, it very quickly got this nickname of Spanish flu. So, Cristiano, how did that happen?
We are at the end of World War I, one of the most complex and problematic war in history. Is a war that already demanded quite a huge sacrifice on the front for many states all across Europe. So to maintain a high morale across the troop and the general public, journalists and censors for several states across Europe minimize early report of illness and mortality of that particular flu all across Europe. We have very minimal report in the United Kingdom, in Germany, in France, in Italy and the United States. This, of course, did not happen to Spain, because Spain at the time was neutral and was not involved in the conflict. So Spanish newspapers were free to report of this growing number of flu cases and how this flu was actually quite rapidly becoming a pandemic. They even report about a grave illness of Turk King. And what is interesting here is that across Europe we have several countries that are not talking about the flu, with a very minor report about a flu that is developing in the spring of that year, when in Spain, where the press is free, everyone is talking about it, everyone is understanding how we should be all concerned about this pandemic, about this disease. And what happened actually, and that's kind of interesting, this creates this pandemic nickname, Spanish flu, because everyone was convinced that Spain at the time was hit particularly hard. and actually they start thinking that the disease itself originated in Spain, but nothing further from the truth. It's just a situation in which the freedom of communication and the non-involvement in the conflict allowed Spanish newspaper to discuss and report this growing number of cases of this flu pandemic.
So the Spanish flu and COVID-19 are two pandemics, but the similarity stops there. So, Cristiano, how can you say that they are different?
First of all, in the case of the Spanish flu, we are at the end of the First World War. It's a very demanding time. It's a time where the quality of life and the general health and sanitary condition across Europe are on average much lower than now. There is difficulties in getting access to food. There is difficulties in, of course, dealing with the basic need of life. So this is a huge difference. Another huge difference that we can see by simply looking at England nowadays, at the time there was no NHS. So we don't have a solid health care system that can, of course, fight against the spread of the disease. Another important difference we have been just mentioned before is the way those information are communicated. At the time, to learn something about the pandemic, we had to rely on the press. When now, that's another difference. We can find information on a variety of media. We have information about the flu on television, we can read information about the flu on the internet, we can read on newspaper. So there are many more channels for the government, for the medical community, for the NHS to communicate with the public. So yes, they present similarity in terms of we are talking about two pandemic, which already demand a significant number of life. We all need to be worried about COVID-19 as people had to be worried about the Spanish flu in the early 20th century, but the context is completely different. It is something we need to take into account.
So, Cristiano, if I understand what you say, you are telling us that the context of occurrence makes these two pandemics quite different. But still, there are things we can learn from looking at the Spanish flu, which are still relevant today.
It's something we can learn from the case of the Spanish flu. It's how a pandemic and can circulate quite quickly all around the globe. Although the world in the early 20th century was not as connected as we are now, we can still trace how one particular disease, as one particular pandemic, in a relatively short period of time, was able to infect a huge number of people. The second lesson, which I think is equally important, is political decision. So one of the things we can learn from the past is that in the case of a pandemic, in the case of a very complex moment, political decision and the communication of those decisions, they need to be rapid, they need to be clear, and they need to be well communicated. You need to make sure that the general public clearly understand the guideline provided by the government and that the general public has access to all of those information. So guideline on how to isolate, how to deal with specific symptoms, what to do in the case of sneezing or developing a cold, they already exist in the 1920s. They were not able to reach everyone, but they were already there. So the importance of sanitary condition, the importance of the culture of hygiene already exist in the early 20th century. When we talk about a pandemic, the public, individual are extremely important and they need to develop a sense of self-responsibility.
So the study of disease in history is not necessarily about comparing them. It is more about learning from past occurrences in order to inform the present and perhaps plan the future.
Well, the study of disease in history can help us, I think, fundamentally to understand the present and plan the future. I think this is the basic mission of history. History can help us to reflect critically of what happened before in the case of disease and give us an insight on how specific pandemic in the past were handled by government in a different historical moment. So we need to embrace this teaching. We need to, of course, to think about those lessons inter on context, but they can really help us to see what type of error were made in the past. In the story we've been explored today, there have been error of communication, there have been error made by a sense of censorship, there were a lack of public understanding of an underestimation of a pandemic. So those are all important key elements that now we need to embrace, we need to look into, and we need to expand upon, especially now that we are in the center of a global pandemic. We are in a very different world compared to the early 20th century. We still have to follow some basic fundamental rule. And those rules are: don't underestimate the pandemic, follow the guideline provided by the government, listen and try to understand the government, and think about yourself as a member of a community. Because diseases are not defeated uniquely by the healthcare system, they're not defeated by single individual, they're defeated by each individual together, and they're defeated by a community.
So comparing the two pandemics, COVID-19 and the Spanish flu, does not really make sense historically because they occurred in two very different contexts. However, what we can get from looking at the Spanish flu is perhaps that good communication is absolutely crucial, and that the more people are aware of what's going on, the more likely they are to be able to participate in the effort to defeat the disease. Thank you very much, Cristiano, for a very stimulating discussion.
Thank you, Jean-Baptiste.
Oh, fascinating stuff there. I did not know the Spanish flu probably started in the American state of Kansas. Thanks for that, Cristiano, and for the rest. Also, thanks to Jean-Baptiste for organizing the interview, asking the questions, and just about everything else with this episode. Hey, if you're a student or a member of staff in STS and you want to create episodes like this one, we have ways you can do that. Details are in the show notes, or just get in touch. Music for today was Rolling at Five by Kevin MacLeod. It's available on the website filmmusic.io. We Are STS is a production of the Department of Science and Technology Studies at University College London. If you're thinking about studying history and philosophy of science and medicine, or any of the other subjects we cover, just let us know. We're always happy to talk. We'll have another episode in a few weeks. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss out. Finally, you can find out more about the show, tell us what you think, and explore more about the courses we offer in the Department of Science and Technology Studies simply by visiting our website. Here's the address, so just write it down: ucl.ac.uk/sts/podcast. That's it for today. We'll meet again here soon. Till then, everybody, I'm Professor Joe Kane. Thanks for listening. Bye now. You've been listening to We Are STS, a podcast from the Department of Science and Technology Studies at University College London. Subscribe, share, and review.